All right, we're coming back. Everybody change clothes. You know, let's fuck everybody up.
I'm the waterbender.
Everybody change clothes.
Damn, I completely forgot. Thank you.
Oh.
Papa.
It's a sexy sky bison. Oof.
Yep, yep. Yep, yep with my drip drip.
Oh.
Drop that beat.
Welcome to the Hype Attack Podcast,
where we weigh in on the latest in nerd and pop culture hype.
We are the band.
We're the excited conversation we all have with our friends
about the nerdy things we love
and geek about.
We are the Hype Attack.
I am the hype!
Welcome to the Hype Attack Podcast, where we weigh in on the latest in nerd and pop culture. Joined today, as always, by Jermaine, Doug, and Isaac.
Yeah.
How's it going, guys?
What's up?
Pretty good. Thank you for asking.
Today, the day has finally come.
Oh, yeah.
The day of Black Sun, the return of Sozin's Comet. Finally, the Avatar has returned. So everyone get in your Avatar state. We're going to talk about it.
My gummy will kick in a minute.
But first,
Avatar state of mind.
But first, as we always do around here, what are we hyped about? What have we done? What are we going to do? What are we looking forward to? What you got?
I saw something earlier today that kind of got me pretty excited, as you can tell. And back in 2015, there was this indie movie called Turbo Kid that I loved. It was kind of like, it's like a superhero thing. I might have forced everyone to watch it once in San Diego. It's kind of like overly gory, superhero, post-apocalyptic, and this kid on like a BMX bike. Anyway, they announced a sequel, but it's not a movie. It's going to be a Metroidvania-style 2D side-scrolling game, which I fucking love. The demo's on Steam right now. I haven't played, but probably later tonight I'll check it out. So I'm excited about that. And then plus, IDW is bringing to an end their current Ninja Turtle run. I think I've talked about that on this show, maybe. I don't know. But they've announced a bunch of new projects that they're going to follow up with it. One of them being like TMNT Black, White, and Green, which would be similar to like Marvel's Black, White, and Red, but it's going to be Black, White, and Green, which I think, I don't know much about that series and how it's going to differ from their new ongoing series, but I'm excited for it because the art looks really cool. And then there's a couple others. They're going to do TMNT Night Watcher, which I don't know if you guys remember from the TMNT animated movie. Raphael went off as like a vigilante named the Night Watcher. Mm-hmm. They haven't said yet if it's going to be Raph or someone else in this new ongoing like spinoff comic, but it's certainly supposed to be a little bit more for like the superhero fans, but within the world of Ninja Turtles. So I'm excited about that.
That's cool.
I'm kind of hoping it's not one of the four turtles. Like maybe that's what they're going to end up doing with like Jenica, the fifth turtle.
Mm.
And then there's like one more for kids. And then they're going to do one called Mutant Nation, which I think is just going to be the larger world of Ninja Turtles, but without the Ninja Turtles in it. I mean, they're in it, but not like the main characters. So basically it sounds like they're going to try to set up a good, like, you know, multiverse or shared universe thing, so they'll be able to do crossovers and stuff like that. It's at this point, it's just expected, and I'm surprised they haven't done it earlier.
Right.
Anyway, that's what I'm hyped about.
Can we talk real quick about the name Night Watcher?
Yeah,
this sounds like a Peeping Tom, the serial Peeping Tom. Did you hear about on the news tonight? The Night Watcher.
It was me.
The Night Watcher strikes again.
Can you tell? Look at me. It was me.
Anyway, sorry, it's a weak joke, but I had to make it.
Someone at IDW is going to hear this and be like, oh, son of a bitch.
Full abort.
Oh, God.
They like erase the old movie even. Or just really badly dub it. With a new name. Yeah. I didn't finish the joke. God, I'm so good at this. Anyway.
I love recording on weekends.
I know, right?
Pumped.
Pump it up. For myself, besides Avatar, which, you know, I just finished yesterday, devoured it in less than a day, but I'm currently watching a series on Netflix called A Killer Paradox. It's a pretty interesting series. It is like a, I don't want to say like K-drama, but it is one of those type of series. But it's a guy where he kind of accidentally kills somebody, and then
as one does.
I'm on board. Go on.
And then you find out that so they set everything up properly where he kills somebody, but when the police come and they try to get the evidence, like there's things that they could have saw, but he works at a convenience store, and he took a hammer from work, you know, quote unquote, to borrow it. Like he really needed the hammer, but something happened in the back alley, and he needed to use that hammer to knock this guy out, but he kind of accidentally killed him because the guy was, you know, refused to stop pummeling him. So when the detective comes back, the hammer that he asked to borrow while he was at work was filmed, but it just so happened that there was a fly that just landed on the camera while he raised up, you know, like the hammer. He's like,
yeah,
can I borrow this? And so the detective can't, you know, didn't see it, and the hammer's missing. He doesn't know where it's at. So but then you find out that the person that he killed was a serial killer, and they've been looking for this guy forever. There's just things that happen where the next person that he kills, you find out that this person also killed people, but the evidence, like everything that they could possibly find on him, like there's a situation that happens in the show.
What's
that,
it called?
A Killer Paradox.
That sounds like as far as like, you know, the person killing the killers gets protected. Yeah. You ever watch Frailty? The Matthew McConaughey, Bill Paxton?
No, I don't think I've watched that one.
I don't remember. It's like the early 2000s, but like that was kind of sort of a premise where they would kill
the
bad guys.
Every time I look in the mirror, I see Frailty. Mm.
Can you have like a graphic where like the heart breaks?
Shut up. Is the guy who's accidentally killing these people who are killing people, is he like doing it on purpose, or is
no?
It like,
he's not doing it on purpose.
He just stumbles into
these
situations.
So
that's cool.
It's the first one was more so self defense.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that was, you know, what happened with that situation. But then there's a second situation where he kind of gets put into a situation where he has to make a choice, but he chooses to kill that person, and he's like a nice guy, but it's just one of those things. Like as he finds out, like he's freaking out, you know, and he wants to turn himself in, but it's just the circumstances that are working against him in the universe won't allow certain things to happen. But I'm only about 4 episodes in, which I think it has 8 episodes, but it's just a situation where he kind of gathered all the evidence that he had from his previous kills, and he was going to turn himself in, and motorcycle bikers just snatched his bag, and he was like, damn.
It was one of those comedy of errors kind of thing.
Yeah,
it just kind of keeps him out of trouble.
Yeah. So it's a pretty
plot armor to the max.
Yeah, like it's a pretty good series. Like it's pretty fun. Like it's a pretty good series. And then I'm really excited for the other Netflix series I want to watch, House of Ninjas. So that's a pretty good series that I want to watch.
What's the Hulu FX one that's out right now? Is it
Shogun?
Shogun. Anybody check that out yet?
No, I need to.
That's top of my list.
I don't know. Is it out yet?
That should drop.
No, yeah. I don't think it's out yet.
I keep seeing so many articles that were just like saying like this is going to save everything. The world is safe now.
It got 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Like
because it got
like
reviews.
Anything else on your screen is complete absolute fucking garbage, except Shogun. That's the hype I'm seeing behind these articles.
It drops this month.
I'll be sure to watch it
this month.
Like next week. Yeah. On the 27th.
Okay. I'll be sure to watch it so I can give my great review of
You have your homework assignments.
Everyone's hyped for it. It's whatever. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think the Game of Thrones comparison keeps getting thrown out. And it's like, look, unless it's on HBO with some, you know.
Go ahead.
You know.
No, I don't know. Spell it out for
me. I don't want to be that, like,
he fucked his sister,
you know, 15-year-old boy mentality. And
you listened to our show?
I know. It's possible to have a really, really good show without the adult content, for sure. Yeah. But I think it adds enough to it that it's gonna feel like maybe missed if it is getting compared to Game of Thrones. Like, oh man, like, not that I'm saying like I want to see banging and titties all the time like that.
Kind of a little bit of a segue. Henry Cavill was recently talking about, like, I don't think movies or shows need like all their sex scenes. Like, I don't think it moves the plot along.
Oh yeah, I agree with them, but I mean, I still want to see it.
What else am I gonna do with my hands during the shows?
Yeah.
Like, I stay off my phone so I can pay attention.
Did you guys hear it? I think someone got busted for jerking it to Sydney Sweeney and Madam Webb. But in that case, like, what else were you going to fucking do in that movie?
He was probably bored.
Yeah. He's like, Jesus Christ, this is horrible.
He was probably the only one in that theater, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And random usher just walked in and was like, ah.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who's like, yeah, but Sydney Sweeney's in. I go, dude, she's not even, like, you know, showing off, like, her assets and stuff. Like, and they're
great
teenagers.
Acting skills. That's
what Well, what a terrible, terrible. We covered it on one of the other episodes, but my full review.
I'm not even being sarcastic. She's a good actress. So
yeah, no, she's a really good actress.
Yeah.
That movie didn't, like, she was probably, other than Adam Scott, she was like the second best actor in that movie, but they didn't give it a chance like that. Oh god. My full review is on Forehead Films. That's Foreheed Films on Instagram.
I'm just telling you right now, the review. Don't go watch that movie. Don't do it. Don't waste your time. Trash.
But my
don't even watch a review. Fuck it.
Shut up. My suggestion
to do with it is just garbage.
My suggestion about
whoever went to go watch that movie too is garbage.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta watch it to see that. My suggestion was, you gotta watch it, like, watch it with a friend just to joke about how fucking bad it was. I don't think it's gonna be up there with, like, you know, popular cult movies like The Room. I think I mentioned this before, but it still is up there to be like, yeah, let's check it out and laugh at it. But we have nothing else to do.
You would have to blood bend me to the damn theater.
Jesus Christ, when you said watch it with your friends, you could jerk each other off?
Wow. What were you saying about, you know, not wanting to be...
Guys were way into my head, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Pleasure bending.
Since we're in my movie corner, speaking of movies, I did check out Lisa Frankenstein, and that was a lot better than I expected it to be. A lot of people were saying, and I also was saying, that it was like a combination of Edward Scissorhand meets Beetlejuice meets, what was the third one? Oh, Heathers. And it's such a ridiculous movie that could only really take place in the 80s. And so it's a fun, I don't think it was targeted towards me, but I do think it has its target audience that I think it's going to have its, like, cult following. So it's still very fun. And it was directed by Zelda Williams, which is Robin Williams' daughter.
And written by... Cody?
Fuck Cody.
No. I forget.
Talking about Diablo?
Yeah.
Diabolical Cody?
Yeah, yeah. Because Jennifer's Body, right? Also?
I think so, yeah.
And they're supposed to be the same universe, which I don't think that's going to matter. But
no.
I think she just said that because... But
it was fun, no.
She wants to do a follow-up to Jennifer's Body.
Like, cool. I mentioned this before, but Catherine Newton, who plays Lisa in Lisa Frankenstein, she has popped out on a few other things and has sort of... This one particular, I haven't seen a lot of her stuff, but this one particular role, you saw her go from, like, the quiet, meek, awkward teenager to this sort of, like, semi-murderous, I don't know, they guess in the movie they call her like a skank or whatever, you know? But it worked. It worked a lot. The cast was really fun, and it felt like it was in the 80s, and it was entertaining enough. I liked it a lot. Yeah. And I think I talked about it on the last one, so you might have to cut this out. Night Swim, did I talk about that on one of those?
You talked about going to see it. And like,
yeah.
Oh, haunted swimming pool? Fuck yeah.
So I talked to other people, they go, but it's a haunted swimming pool. I go, I know. Blumhouse has this ability to make weird fucking premises, semi-watchable. Like, they never stick the landing when it comes to horror films. It's like most horror films never, they can't find that good ending. But I like the cast. I think the performances were, I don't know, like good enough or grounded enough where I was like, oh, I'm on board. The
swimmers.
Speaking of the swimming, there was a lot of, obviously it's about a haunted swimming pool, so there's a lot of like swimming pool scenes, and it didn't get boring. It was actually creepy. It was silly, but it was actually creepy, and it made me not want to go in the water for a little bit.
A lot of good treading.
Yeah. Some good shots. That whole thing of like, oh, what's down there in the dark? What if the lights turned out? It creeped me out.
Water.
Or so you think. Oh. You'll just have to watch the movie. And then as for TV shows, I just finished FUBAR, which is on Netflix, and that's starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. I talked about it last time, but I finally finished it. And it's a fun, quick, you know, I wouldn't say quick, but it's a fun 8 episodes of getting to see Arnold Schwarzenegger and a full series where he gets to be an action spy, older man kind of thing. And the dynamic of the breakdown of the dynamic of having to be a CIA agent. Mm-hmm. And then, spoiler alert, where his daughter is also an agent. So, a lot of fun. Cool stuff. Check it out. On to you, Rudy.
I took the dive. The Hell Dive. Helldivers 2.
Hell yeah, brother.
And I think I played the first one like a couple times. Just, I think it was free on the PlayStation Network. Mm-hmm. And this is a complete departure from that, twin stick shooter that it was, the top down. It does live up to the hype. It's still kind of buggy. You could tell that they put a lot of effort into the game, but I don't think they thought it was going to blow up the way it did. So, like, as it's ramping up in popularity, like, more people are finding more bugs in there, and they're trying to fix it on the fly. But all that said, it's still really fun.
Yeah, it's really impressive. And I think just going beyond the game itself, the world, our world, is reacting to it very differently. I think we were talking about how, like, I think this is the first time that, like, even PlayStation, because it's on PlayStation and Steam, it's not on Xbox. And I think there's a push to get it on Xbox, even though I think it's a Sony produced game. Like, and then I just saw today, like on Reddit, that there are people that are actively trying to push against like the whole meta thing. Like, people want people to play for fun, except for, like, you know, obviously there's people that are pushing the extreme difficulties, and then it's a matter of like, okay, learn the fucking game. Let's use the right weapons. Let's, you know, use all the right stratagems and everything like that. But for the most part, I think a lot of people are actively fighting against that mentality of just like, look, play how you want to play, and we'll get the mission done. And even like, I think there's some, backlash against some of the streamers that are trying to push like solo play, because the game's built to be played with others. And I think there's some streamers out there that are trying to push like, oh, let's, like, here's a good solo build. It's like, no, fuck the solo build. Play with other people. Like, that's what the game's designed for. Play to have fun. Do your thing.
I like jumping into a mission like by myself. Like, I don't go looking for a crew, but as you know, I take 2 steps and all of a sudden 3 other pods fall. Let's go. I'm like, oh yeah, shit, that's, the team's here. Let's fucking go.
Yeah.
But yeah, that whole thing, just being able to jump in and like the whole community is working towards a progressive goal as opposed to just like a single player storyline. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's pretty cool. I like how seeing the planets liberated progression bar they have on there.
Yeah, from a like a role playing.
How's that water?
Yeah, it's just water.
Fuckface exposed.
I'm the clown.
Way to commit to the bit.
Oh, sorry.
Your yes ending abilities are fantastic. Can't wait for the rest of season 2.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, like the role playing aspect of that game is neat. Like, to what you were saying, like being able to look at the star map and see the progress of not just your efforts, but the world's efforts and just the building of the ship, and even just getting to name the ship and seeing everyone else's ships' names has been pretty fun. What was the name of your ship?
Mine was Sword of Judgment.
I love it.
And I'm kind of bummed that they don't let you choose your own name, but that I'm also kind of relieved, because it
would just be ridiculous.
Yeah, butt plug of eternity would just be flying across your screen. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that'd be me.
Yeah.
I went with the Paragon of Audacity.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I thought that was a fun one.
Yep. Mine's the forehead of forgetfulness.
Well, they give you like a list of like first words and then a list of like the of something. Mm-hmm. Like, and then you can just like mix and match. So I've seen all sorts of like Warrior of Serenity, and there was one called Family Value, or like of Family Values, which I thought was like really fun. I was gonna do like the Warrior of Family Values or something.
But yeah, that was it for me.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one. Well, then let's get to the meat of it, guys.
Let's get all right. to
Let's bend our meats. Meat I don't know how this works.
I didn't fucking watch it. No. All right, so to preface everything, who has seen the original cartoon series?
No.
Who loses at life? Raise your hand, Doug. Thank you.
We're going beyond this conversation.
Who's seen the first abortion of a live action movie by M. Night?
2010.
Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Hey, it's still a movie.
Shyamalan.
Yeah, we're never gonna pronounce his name right.
Like we resurrected this movie because as soon as we finished that movie, it didn't exist anymore.
No.
It was so bad. It was just
really bad.
It was thrown on the heap next to Dragon Ball Evolution. But
up there with Madam Web now.
For this series, we resurrected it so we can compare it and be like, yes, this, no, mm-mm. Yes, no,
no,
bad M. Night, bad. Like, I really don't understand that movie. Like, let's just jump into that real quick.
Sure.
That movie was completely
trash bending.
It took the entire spirit of the original cartoon series
completely out of it
and just blank.
What, and what, I mean, like, what all did they change?
Some roles were whitewashed.
Yeah, and I don't want to say it like that because it really doesn't. Well,
I thought we were talking about the negatives. Sorry, no, that's totally inappropriate.
But like the original
say even cultures, hates it.
All the cultures from the original cartoon were like represented well, and then all of a sudden it was just all white people.
Yeah,
everywhere.
They changed the race of the Fire Nation. I think they're Indian. But it, like, it did the show, the whole concept doesn't need, it didn't need the race changing, you know, it's
it already didn't need any of that
race bending, yeah, you know, they call it.
I wonder if there was like marketing pressure or something.
It had to be like, let's make a Disney afternoon version of this for the kids.
He might have wanted to, you know, the lands that they had in the series, he might have wanted to make it sort of like, you know, Asia. So he wanted to probably have like multiple ethnicities mixed in there.
Don't defend him, Jermaine.
Oh no, this is not a
whatever he wanted to have multiple ethnicities, but they all ended up being very pale.
That's but it was just poster. One of those things too where
poor Dev Patel. Can't wait for Monkey Man.
And they killed like just how they I don't even want to say it. I'm not gonna say his name, but how they pronounce Aang's name in that movie. Every time they said it, it's just
Aang.
It's so weird. I mean, anytime that anything is like so horrible, and I haven't seen it, but I've heard enough. anytime that something is so horrible, I have to like question like why, like what. Because M. Night Shyamalan, I mean, mm-hmm. he doesn't make great, great movies, but he has made some great movies. Mm-hmm. It's like he knows how to make a movie.
I will say this. They were pushing Aang's character in a direction, you know, more so where, yes, in the live action Netflix series, you know, he has that battle, you know, where he's not trying to hurt anybody. And, you know, that peaceful way of how the airbenders are, you know, it's more so a defense than it is, you know, an attack bending. But in the end, let me backtrack. In the animated series, you know, he does transform into this kind of like titan of a
spirit monster.
Yeah. And but he's tentacles and all, and he's, you know, whipping and lashing. Yes.
Now it's an anime I want to watch.
So in the M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong movie.
Racist.
He just
I've been trying to say it.
He just picks up the water and makes like a torrent of a wave and raises it up as high as he can, and the Fire Nation's like, oh, let's get out of here, and then he just raises it back down.
Oh,
so that was the climactic, you know, he was like, run, bitches. And then he just brought it back down.
Wow.
So it just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
Just the way that they
but as executed it. We know from Night Swim what was in that water. We'll never know.
And also the bending itself in the movie was fucking atrocious.
Yeah.
Like all the in the new series, you see like especially the earth bending,
where
they're, you know, just doing the most with that. In the movie, it's literally earth bending is six guys going, and then the little pebble goes across the screen.
Nice.
Like that, that forever is burned into my brain. It's like, why? Who greenlit this? Just give me a pile of money and I will burn it for you. Like there's no reason. There was no reason for it.
Yeah. Corridor Digital covered the fire bending in that 2010 movie, and how one of the most crucial things that they didn't pay attention to when they were doing the special effects was like, if you're going to animate fire, you need to have light coming off of it. And it's just this element just shooting across the screen. Like it's not really there. It just, it just doesn't hold weight and shit like
that. Does it interact with the environment?
Mm-mm. Now, I unfortunately haven't gotten to see more than an episode of the Netflix Avatar. I haven't got a chance, but I'm glad that all you guys saw all of it.
Way to stay on brand.
Yeah. I'm on board. I'm on brand. But this morning, like right before I left, I was like, I gotta watch at least the one, and I liked it a lot. I can feel the soul of the show in there. Within the first 15 minutes, I was like shedding a tear, and like you said, I completely erased from my memory that 2010 fucking movie.
Yeah.
Right? So there was no heart and soul in that movie.
So, since you did only watch the first episode, 1,000 lashes upon thee after this.
Threat me with the fucking fantastic.
Tune in to Hypertag After Dark for Isaac's spankings.
Pleasure coup.
May your toilet paper turn into cactus.
I did hear lot of people were complaining that they were like, Aang's already flying without his glider in the beginning of the episode. I was like, I hate wow. people sometimes with passion, with the most perfect hate. I'm like, how is he flying? I get it's a thing for later on. There's another series, but there's a character who kind of gets the ability to fly, and it's a big thing because in the next series, the bending style is evolved.
Oh,
it just becomes greater. So there's a lot of people trying to, they're saying, well, if this character is flying now in the first episode, it's going to mean nothing later. I'm like, he's not flying. He's falling with style.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. That was fucking at the tip of my lips right there.
Like he's using
style.
He's airbending as he's falling down. It's not like he's, you know, flying like Superman. And that's one of the complaints that I'm already hearing. And I'm just like, you really think that was flying? I was like, you got a problem if you think that's flight in
the problem
series.
Being stupid.
Like he's gliding, like he's gliding and creating cushion air under him to cushion his fall.
Yeah.
He's not using it to propel himself and like doing the Superman thing around the screen. Like it's just a
little burst of to jump to.
I would say anyone that even considered that flying like should just not judge.
Right?
Any of that.
Right.
Like it should just not live.
I'm gonna go. We need consumers, but
it's a jury.
And it's a thing where his outfit is designed for him to catch pockets of air. You know, that's another element to this Netflix series is the costume designers got that thing on point.
Yeah.
Everything looked superb. I loved every nation's drip.
Their fit. Yeah.
Looked like they were dipped in butter. It just.
That's the clothes that they're wearing for our very old audiences.
Yes. I just love the attention to detail to all the nation's costumes. It just works very well.
Well, and you know, you brought up how the airbenders cost or clothes or drip or whatever the fuck. is designed to like capture pockets of air. And that's the kind of stuff I love. I think I've talked about it maybe on this show about just that kind of cultural development that you would see in any sort of fantastical race or country or culture where they do have powers or other kind of things. Like mm-hmm. it's always interesting to explore like how those elements would come forward in mm-hmm. like the day-to-day culture of their life. So something like that, like if you can bend air, then yeah, of course you're going to have clothes that can capture air, so you can yeah. do stuff like the gliding mm-hmm. and all that. It's just kind of fun world building stuff.
Because yeah, like it's one of those things that after the fact, you know, I went after like I watched the original series, but you go back and listen to the writers and all that stuff, but just the little details that, you know, that they add to the characters. Like I love how later on Katara just carried around like a little water flask, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, you know. It just makes sense, you know. She's she's a waterbender.
You know, always have a
yeah. She access. Might be in a element where there's no water around, and she needs it. So therefore, she has it, you know, on her at all times.
Hell yeah!
What? Quick question. In the fucking hated movie, so all the benders bend the elements around them. So you know, water. When there's water, they grab the water. Earth is everywhere. Air is everywhere. Fire doesn't naturally occur in nature.
No.
Fire has to be sparked. Mm-hmm. So in the original series, they just produce fire. You know, they shoot it out. They, in the new series, live action, they shoot it out. In the movie, they had to carry fire around with them.
Is that right?
Like, they weren't able to, like, just flick it out. Like, they always had to have a source. Like, they would carry torches.
I think I blocked that from my memory. Wow, that fucking sucks.
Like the last battle between Katara and Zuko, like mm-hmm. there was like a convenient like mm-hmm. brazier of fire chilling over there that he was able to, you know, take the fire from. And
so they're like Pyro and the water benders weren't smart enough to just. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's sitting over there over a pile of dry leaves with his like, hold on!
Locked and loaded.
Yeah. But I mean, that's kind of a cool element because you're right. Like, I guess they're the one bender that's kind of just pulling it out of their ass. But the fact that it wasn't in the cartoon originally, like, don't change it at that point. Mm-hmm. But I guess looking back at the original cartoon, like, yeah, maybe they should have had. I would have done cool, like flint things on your like yeah. fingertips. Again, going back to that cultural development, like, because you wouldn't need much to get that spark.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they could have done something.
Well, also the other interesting thing.
It's the friction of how fast they're moving their arm against the air. Yeah. Yeah.
Sparks and farts is what it was.
Yeah, just. And then they got a big flame.
But also, too, the Fire Nation's so fascinating because they like fire. They, you know, try to spread amongst the nations, but they're also technologically more advanced. They have like their steel ships and stuff like that. It's very, you know, burning coal, just blackening the sky. Yeah, it would make more sense that they did what like Pyro did in X-Men, where he, you know, he couldn't create the fire; he could only manipulate it. If they were to just create a little mechanism, but maybe we're overthinking it. I don't know.
I think it's more so because it's, you know, Avatar: The Last Airbender, and it's kind of like a spiritual thing, like an element. Mm-hmm. So where everybody's one with this thing, you know. So kind of feel like if it was a thing where you have a group of people who have to create or have to spark something to create it, it might take back from that like spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And especially the Avatar being able to control all the elements, you know, that adds to it. So I could see why they didn't want to, you know, have them, you know, use something to spark the fire.
I snickered while you were talking because you brought up the name of The Last Airbender. Mm-hmm. So I know nothing about the show. I knew nothing until I watched this. And I remember like that first episode watching it and seeing all the airbenders, like, oh, these guys are cool. Like, I can't wait to see more of them. And then it dawned on me. I'm like, wait, the name's The Last Airbender. I was like, oh, no. So,
which brings me to my yeah. first point of this new series. And I saw it written down somewhere, so it kind of spoiled it for me in like a review before I watched it. But it was described as we get the airbenders Order 66. And I'm like, oh shit, they're actually gonna show. And they did, like, Which
Jesus, the brutality, which is
brutal as shit. And I'm sitting there like, they okay. I don't know how people are kind of. I've gone into the depths of the interweb, into Rotten Tomatoes and other sites, and I've seen people.
I hate Rotten Tomatoes.
Complain about, you know, it's a Disney-fied. A Disney-fied version of the original show. I'm like, motherfucker was like lighting. He lit the chick in her little tornado. Dude, yeah, yeah. Fucking turned her to ash. And I'm like, that's
I guess burning people alive. Is yeah. In America, that's tame violence.
It's within like the first 5 or 10 minutes where the earthbender gets burned up by the whoever the king fire lord is. And was that who it was?
Yes.
And I turn to my wife and I go, well, I guess they're doing that in this show. Holy fuck. I mean, it was brutal and it needed to be because Rudy's like, gotta put the graphic. But to step away from it being like a kid show and making it this thing of like, if they were real people, if they were real fire lords, to show their viciousness because they can manipulate fire, they would exactly do this. Yeah, that was brutal, and it needed to be that brutal. Mm-hmm. And they showed people getting burned to death like a handful of fucking times. And like, oh my God, they're really doubling down on this shit. Hell yeah, I like the show.
I was real surprised that they actually went the route to show it. But I think it kind of, I think it just kind of like gives weight to what the fire vendors are actually doing. Like,
absolutely.
They're unaliving people everywhere.
Oh yeah. So
I just want to see the waterbending, waterboarding.
He doesn't know about.
I don't know shit.
The bloodbending.
Oh, hot.
The body is what, 75% water.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
I think it gets dark though. Nice. The foreshadowing of Katara learning how to move the water through the to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's.
Oh okay. Yeah.
Kind of.
Oh man, I'd have fun with that. Like just killing certain parts of the brain.
It's brutal in the original series where it's like. They're like doing this, and you just see like arms like.
Yeah, yeah.
She learned it. That's wasn't cool. It like a.
Fuck me though, right? I guess I don't watch this.
Like a swamp lady or whatever.
That's cool.
That she learned it from.
She's more like a hermit.
Yeah, like a yeah.
Kind of living out in the forest by herself, but she learned how to do it, and they get in a fight, and
yeah.
Katara sees it and learns it herself. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to go the same route in the new series, but
it's an important part because it's one of those things, and I don't remember a lot of the animated series, but there are just some components about bending where you learn the next level, and there's metal bending, blood bending, the fire. There's one firebender. Lightning. Yeah.
Cold-blooded fire.
What's the one that like shoots this like explosion?
Oh, it's like a
Combustion Man.
Combustion.
Wow. But what's so cool is like, oh, there's all of these extra abilities. It isn't just manipulating that one element to move around. Right. It's like,
it's a base and then they build up on it.
Yeah. So that being said, because I haven't seen the rest of the episode, do they touch on any of that? You said foreshadowing the healing, any of that in there?
See,
or would it have taken away from the first season?
I'm only saying.
Do you want the spoiler?
Yeah.
There's a little sparky spark.
Okay.
So in the original series, you don't get Azula until season 2.
Oh.
But they sprinkled her in like a lot in the first season.
Yeah, I like her character.
Like almost the last scene of the show is her like bringing it up with the thing and like firing it off.
And even
like,
the Fire Lord.
That was cool as shit.
The Fire Lord, you get bits and pieces of him. Like you see him like in his shadow. Like you see him doing like the Akuma pose, like where he's like, ugh. You don't see his face for like the longest time, and then you finally, you know, get into his character. Like they kind of what is it, like Inspector Gadget, Dr. Claw,
Claw, where it's just like
where
his hands see... petting the cat.
That's his voice. Awesome. I love it.
Yeah, where you see him.
I've always said though, sorry, going back to the building up of the powers, the bending. I've always said how I love that aspect of. I guess any sort of like Asian culture or like Kung Fu movies or anything like that, where it's a matter of like your power is limited to like how much you train or how much chi you can channel or however they want to put it. Because then you know, one of my complaints I always have is like the over explanation of how they get their powers. And, you know, this is, we've talked about before, that's like the major advantage of the X-Men universe is like, oh, they're a mutant. Boom. You're done. Like, that's the explanation.
Yeah.
So it's kind of similar even with this kind of stuff is they can come along, you know, any character that's got some sort of bending and like, you don't need some big explanation for it. It's like, well, they trained to do that. Like, cool. And I appreciate that because then you can focus more on the actual story and the action.
Mm-hmm. So as I'll ask you guys, because you've watched the full show, you've seen the Avatar animated series, did it hold up to your expectations?
I wish that I could take the original series out and put it over here and then watch the show.
Right.
Because the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, I see what they did here. They know they compressed these storylines in here.
Sure.
They didn't have enough time for this, so they left it out completely. Like, it still hit pretty much on all levels for me. But like, there was like, oh, I wish they had explained that a little bit more. Like, just showed that a little bit more to show progression. Like, Katara's waterbending, like, they're 20 episodes in the first season of the show, in the original show, and there's 8 episodes in the live action. So all that journey is compacted, and it didn't feel quite as earned to me at the end where she's running around doing all her shit. But I understood that in this compressed storyline,
like some Rey Skywalker, Mary Sue shit right out here. I know I got some people on here. They know.
So then you who hasn't watched the animated series, you watched this show the way I watched the live action One Piece.
Oh.
In which, like, I didn't have anything to compare it to. Zero at all. Mm-hmm. I had nothing to compare it to. So I could take it out of my brain. So hearing them talk about it like that, like, how did you feel about the show just watching the live action only?
I liked it. You know, knowing that an animated series existed, I couldn't help but stop every once in a while. I'm like, oh, I bet they would have explained this more. Or like, knowing that there would have been a little bit more, I guess, filler.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, another way to say like character development and world building. But no, at the end of the day, I thought I really liked it. I think they introduced a lot of characters, but none of it felt forced. You know, they were there for one episode, but, you know, that's such a small world. Like, you know, they're going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And which again, I think is a great way to do these kind of things. You had very classic kind of quest, but it wasn't like, you know, revenge or a violent quest really. Like, it's, I mean, obviously they're trying to save the world and fight the fire, but you know, for the most part, he's trying to learn how to be an avatar and all that. So I think it was just really good.
The way that they stitched everything together, I didn't mind it because it is an hour long episode. So when you factor in like the original series, it's about maybe 20 minutes or so, you know, with commercials. So you'll probably get maybe like two episodes and a half.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So when you look at it that way, you know, I don't mind that it's compact and you don't need all those episodes because, you know, they did like normal cartoons and things and what they do in anime. You have those filler episodes. You don't need all that stuff. I felt they did the best job that they could, you know, lining everything up. Sure, there are fans that probably wanted to see maybe Iroh's backstory with his, you know, son and all that stuff, and where they put things in, you know, it's a progression of the story. I didn't mind that they showed, you know, the airbenders getting, you know, wiped out like that, or how Iroh's story was told with his son, because you look at it, you know, these guys are on a journey in this world. And it's not like, especially in this first chapter, you don't want to separate these characters as in having them go off to a lot of the places that they did in the series, because you kind of want it just a little bit tighter than the series, because you get to see the characters evolve and myself knowing the beats of the animated series, I didn't mind it, mm-hmm. you know, at all. You know, I just felt everything fit where they placed things. Like, it just worked for me. Like, it just hit. Granted, like I said, you know, I do know the animated series, but for the live action, I just felt like it worked.
I have a couple character questions. First for Doug and then for Jermaine. So the general, the Fire Nation general, General Zhao. Yes. How did that character come off to you?
I thought he was
old boy from Rush Hour.
I thought he was a great villain. I thought like it was interesting to see like the Fire Nation being like not completely. I mean, I guess it's just Zuko and Iroh that aren't like fully evil. In a way, and the rest are kind of just going there because again, I mean, they've been at war for 100 years, and you know that's going to do something to the culture.
Oh, Iroh had his past though, but
yeah,
Zuko's still a dick.
Yeah, Zuko's a dick, but you know, I think there's a lot going on there. I mean, they explained that there's a lot going on there, but yeah, like at first he felt very cartoony. I think he was very cartoony the way he delivered some of the lines and like just a lot of it. But at the end of the day, I still think he's a really good villain.
Now from the original. The original, to me, he's a little bit more calculating. He's a little bit more in control.
Okay. In this or the cartoon?
In the cartoon.
In the cartoon.
So then, as Doug said, he kind of came off a little cartoony in the live action. Do you like that change? Or would you have rather seen him a little bit more? He's in the original cartoon, he's like more in control, more scheming.
Yeah, very calculative.
Yeah. In the original cartoon, was what's her name behind a lot of his decisions. What is her name? The
Azula. I don't know if they established that because like you said, you didn't get her till season two. I think maybe she was kind of in contact, but it was mostly him.
Okay. Maybe they sacrificed some of his character to try to build up her more to be like this big villain.
And across those episodes, you get a little bit more of his development too. So they probably just had to shortcut it. But what did you think of that character? Would you have rather had the a little bit more of the cartoon version or... Did it fit
how they went? I didn't mind his character. Yes, besides him being like a tactician, but I never looked at him as like he was like a serious threat.
Like a big threat.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So just him kind of being played like how he is, you know. I don't really see him as a big player, so just how his character is portrayed, I didn't really need it to get to that level. But I mean, you know, like it's one of those things where if they did, it would have been cool. But I feel like they're trying to stitch things together, and weave things going on around in the background to make the tapestry of the show just I don't want to say Game of Thrones.
I've seen that comparison.
But
Rachel just made that comparison.
But just have characters linked to certain characters that they might not have had a connection to, but just to add a different element. Mm. You know what I'm saying? To the show. That's different from the cartoon.
That was good.
So you know what I'm saying? Like that. Yeah. So you know what I'm saying? So it honestly, it really worked for me. The show really worked. There was not an episode of the show where I was like, oh my God.
I had a technical question, because I've only seen the one episode. I didn't feel so hot about Katara and Sokka's performances, their acting. Like, it wasn't the strongest. It felt a little forced, a little like maybe they hadn't had a theatrical background. Does it get better later on?
I'm gonna field this one for your technical question. Technically, fuck you. No, I'm just the dialogue in the cartoon. I mean, it's cartoon dialogue,
but it's no longer a cartoon.
So so you're getting that translated into, you know, live action, which is supposed to be a little bit more serious. Mm-hmm. okay, the writing, I don't think the writing was strong. Because, you know, those Katara especially comes off as preachy and
in the show.
Yeah.
And the animated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's you know, the
Yeah, very earnest.
Very earnest, very like, we're gonna save the world together. Like that seeing that shit in live action is kinda cringy. And I think hopefully they learn from the first season and kinda play with the writing more in season two. But I get where you're coming from with her. Sokka, which leads to my second character question. I think a lot of his comic relief, a lot of his wit, they kind of took from the live action, as opposed to
how he was. Yeah, they kind of hit the brakes a little bit on him. They kind of pulled back.
What little I know about the cartoon, is I was expecting him to be a lot like more ridiculous. For me, I'm glad he wasn't, because I don't.
It would have been too big. You feel?
Yeah. So I feel like they're giving his character a bit more balance, because he's trying to take his role a bit more seriously, you know, as the leader of the tribe. Mm-hmm.
And he's looking to bang a lot. I got that.
Does that come? Does that come through in the show?
Yes.
Okay.
Cool.
He likes, you know.
Oh, Sokka pulls ass everywhere.
He's ass bending. Good
for him. Riz, that boy got Riz. We got Riz, son.
What's happening? They're just working towards him. Sorry, I'm shaking.
he absolutely could be classified as an earthbender because he's rocking bitches everywhere.
Jermaine. Continue.
Oh no, but I just it's kinda cool to see him have a little bit of edge to him at the same time. Yes, he still has the comic, you know, relief side to him, but because it is a live action series, I think they're trying to give him more of a serious role,
more of like a leadership edge to him.
Yeah,
which I think comes across in the last episode where they're assaulting the Fire Nation ship, and he's kind of like, you know, general directing the fight. I like that a lot.
I do have a question though. Because we mentioned the beginning intro where the Fire Nation attacks the temple. How do you guys feel that the benders are kind of already using their abilities to kind of like propel themselves? Because remember when they went up?
Which ones? The fire ones?
Because wasn't in the beginning where they kind of...
They kind of launched themselves?
Yeah, where they launched themselves up. How do you feel about that?
I got this too. So in the original series, and they didn't, and I don't know why they didn't explain it. They showed the comet. Mm-hmm. Fuck you guys! Stop! You're throwing me off.
Fill this up again.
So in the series, the comet juices their powers, and they don't explicitly say that in the live action.
Yeah, they did.
They did. There was the one line.
Yeah.
That, yeah, because we have the comet, but they didn't like expand on that.
And I think they did. Because even I picked up on it. I knew that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because for me, I was like, okay, they didn't give a lot of weight to it. Like it didn't.
No,
they didn't come out of the gate saying they're overpowered because that comet's floating across the sky.
They said something to that extent, but I didn't think much of it until the later episode when they talked about the moon for the waterbenders. I'm like, oh, okay, I bet all of it. Like, I kind of connected those pieces.
It was like a sand grain worth of knowledge.
It was literally a line.
Out of the context of having seen the show and knowing that's what it is and looking at it like, okay, new people.
It could have been heavier.
They could have leaned into that a bit more to make it pop out a little bit more.
Yeah.
To make it a little more prevalent. Whether, you know,
they needed like a firebender to like do a big fireball and be like, whoa, and then be like, oh, it's bigger because of the comet. Oh, because the comet gives us power.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is like they're doing shit to the airbenders in that first episode where like, wow, if they're so strong, why aren't they just, you know, why are they just marching in and wiping out everyone?
I mean, I'm still like curious, like, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that the firebenders took everyone out because it's like flamethrowers versus super soakers.
And some rock throwers. You know, during the rest of the time, they weren't as overpowered as they were in that first episode.
Yeah.
Oh, they were rocking the But yeah, but it was.
They were hot.
Clean. No, I'm kidding.
But anyway, what was the question?
Oh, no, it was just how did you feel that they were kind of like already showing that side of it already?
Yeah, I wish they had, instead of the one line, I wish they had just kind of like made more of like a visual effort to link the the comet with, you know, them being overpowered or something, you know, like, even like fucking the airbenders be like, all right, you know, if we stay together, we got this, and just one firebender and be like, and just take them out. Like, they're so strong. Like,
well, they'll probably touch on that in this next season, because that was how they ended this.
Yeah.
Right? Was, oh, the comet's coming back. So I can see them setting something up where it's going to be like, oh, this comet's coming, and then, like, Sokka or someone will be like, well, what's that mean? And then there'll be, like, that line of, like, the last time it came is when they were able to take on every airbender. You know, so they might be able to expand on that.
Absolutely, that comet figures later into more climactic battles.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Going further on.
What I'm saying is they'll probably be able to use that as that back explanation.
I just wish they had, you know, highlighted it more in the first one.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Do you feel the whole season ended as a non-animated series watcher? Do you feel like the series ended pretty well?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
I think even if they weren't ever to continue this, I think it was a solid 8 episodes. It could exist as a miniseries with like that little tease of what's coming. But obviously, I know there's more coming and stuff.
Did it impress you enough to be like, I really hope they have a season 2 coming?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And that finale, that textbook finale, it was. And I don't mean that like it was boring or predictable, but I mean like. This is how you make a finale, right? Cool. Like this.
Did it look good?
Oh, it looked amazing.
Yeah,
there were like
I saw you watching little bits of it. It looked really fucking good.
Yeah, just the CG and stuff was, you know, I think I feel like they kicked it up a little notch even for this finale.
Yeah,
but then just some of the artistic choices and stylization of it looked really cool.
I have a question. Are we recording?
Yeah, we never stopped.
I have a question. If you guys could be any character in Avatar, which character would you be?
Or a nation, or who's your favorite character?
No.
Yes. What character would you be? Yes. No.
No, that's a great question, Jermaine. Yeah.
God damn it. Jermaine, win here.
To answer your question, I love General Iroh's character. He's the beating heart and soul of the entire series, anyway. Jesus Christ.
Okay, so he doesn't know about Little Soldier Boy.
No.
Oh,
I would imagine not.
No.
God. Have you watched videos of people reacting to that?
To
watching that little vignette?
No.
Watch people watching it and they didn't know it's coming and they're like, oh my, it's his.
Okay, I don't know what I'm doing later.
Emotional bending. It'll destroy you.
So they actually went into his son's death during the siege of Ba Sing Se. There's like a musical interlude in later seasons.
It's an episode where there's like three vignettes or something like that where they're not really focusing on any particular story, more covering some character background and more of like a day in the life of that particular person. And they did one on Iroh, and he's like shopping around and he's singing a song or playing a song for this little kid who's crying. And you're like, okay. And the lyrics are like, poor little soldier boy.
Brave little soldier boy.
Brave little soldier boy hanging on the vine. I have to look the lyrics up. Shit, I'm not doing it justice. And he's gathering these things. You're wondering.
You're making me cry now for the wrong reason.
sorry, call
it.
Go
do
on.
Do it justice, damn
sorry,
you.
Go on.
But no, you know, you're coming to it. Like, he in... in the live action episode,
this motherfucker's anger bending right now.
In this new series, where he's having the funeral and people are giving their condolences, you can hear that song playing in the background.
Oh.
And for people who like, for me, sitting there watching that and that fucking that harp piano, whatever the fuck instrument, starts stringing out those notes, fucking gone.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I was like ugly.
We'll explain why.
Like ugly crying. And I mean, it's Iroh. He's, like I said, he's the heart of the show.
It's just,
and like they did so well, you know, bringing that forward in in the cartoon, and I think they're doing a pretty good job bringing it forward in the live action.
Yeah.
He's just that character that has seen so much and been through so much. Like, he's been through the wars, you know, he put in his time, and he's just looking at everything, and it's just like, this shouldn't be like this, you know, like him losing his son was a bullshit
cause, basically. Yeah. He didn't believe in the cause, and his son died, you know, for the war, for nothing.
Yeah. So it was just one of those elements
that, I mean, it added just this, such a deep layer to Iroh.
Mm-hmm. I do, as the series went on, I gravitated towards Zuko, because he's another character like Iroh who's been through so much, and just what he's dealing with, and just him, like, legit just trying to get his father to kind of
take him back,
like, recognize him. But it's all about this honor, and he's not living for himself,
you there know, you go
he's,
yeah
he's living for somebody else. But then when he gets that realization of just who he is, and when his character arc turns, he becomes, like, my favorite character.
And he leans more on Iroh for that guidance.
Oh, I mean, hands down, Iroh is his father. Like, yes, that's his uncle, but, you know, that's his pappy.
Well, what's so deep about Iroh himself is he doesn't care about the wars and everyone's needing to conquer land and whatever, and is just trying to put, like, a silver lining on all this shit cloud of situations. And
drink jasmine tea.
And not only that, but it's on a deeper level, he's an older character, and you would think someone like that, that has dealt with the death of his son and watching his favorite nephew going down this dark path, that he would be apathetic to the world, that he would be jaded, and that he's not, and that he still has this, like, this warm heart, even though he's part of this fucking, you know, asshole Fire Nation.
No, he's the drag.
Yeah. Easily the top favorite character.
That one episode where he, in the animated series, where he got locked up and he was in that prison and he was putting in work.
Dude.
Man, his body transformation. Right. He's this old man, you know, that just looks fragile, like he has a slouch, but, you know, he will work you with the firebending, but just him being in the prison, like, it was almost like a Rocky scene.
Oh, nice.
Where he's just working out and he gets toned again, and he escapes those bars.
It's so good too, because, like, it's a cartoon, and, like, they show him being, like, pitiful. Like they're throwing food at him. He's, like, eating it off the floor. He, like, put on this big show of, like, I'm beaten. And then they leave and he's by himself, and he just hops up and grabs, like, a bar, puts his thing, and starts, like, one-handed pull-ups while he's eating, like, an orange, like... And that's then, awesome. like when it culminates, is like,
swole Iroh.
Yeah. Like, he's like, takes his shit off, and he's like,
he just
gains.
Awesome.
So for will Doug, the actor need to get buff for the role?
Yeah, later? I really hope they, probably not, but I really hope they.
It's gonna be really bad CG.
I would love it too. I would fucking love it.
And then, like, just do a bottle, a
body double.
Yeah, a freaking body double. But for Doug, who has never seen the animated series or knows the guy who voiced him.
Oh, yeah.
He did pass away, but do you remember Conan the Barbarian, the narrator?
Oh.
The wizard.
Nice.
He was the original voice for Iroh.
That's cool.
And he passed, like, what, halfway through season two?
Because, they had to get somebody else that sounds almost like him to finish the rest of the series. So you don't really see him a lot towards the end of the series because of that factor. But Iroh is the man. But that's who my character is and who I would be. And I would be Fire Nation all the way. Not this Fire Nation that wants to destroy the world, but the Zuko's Fire Nation.
Are there beer benders? Because that's what I'd want to be.
It'd be an evolution of the water bending.
Yeah.
Doug, who was your favorite character to answer Jermaine's question?
Favorite character? Yeah. Well, like to Isaac's original question of like who I would want to be. Like, I don't
get recognized.
I don't know if I'd necessarily want to be any of the characters, but no, I did like, God, what's her name? Suki, the Kyoshi Warriors. Yeah. I thought they were pretty badass.
Oh, they were amazing.
And I generally like the whole leave us alone attitude. not really. No, I mean, in that situation, like, you know, you can't afford to have that kind of isolation and attitude. But I did like that whole area and their training and everything looked really mm-hmm. cool.
Rudy, obviously be Appa. So I think I would be... Not who would I be, but like who do I think I, you know, if I could relate to any character, it'd have to be Sokka, because I'm very punchable, and I'm always trying to crack wise and like.
Hey, what's the general at the end with the forehead? That's Isaac.
I'm gonna put this thing into a fucking top knot. Watch.
I wish you would.
Come on.
Oh, are you talking about the waterbender guy at the end from the north?
Because the one that didn't want to train Katara.
Paku. Yeah, yeah. Paku. He was the only one that like looked. Just like so out of place, like something something just wasn't right.
And it's funny because I think he looked the closest to his character from
right. Maybe that's why. Maybe animation. That's why he looked so out of place. Because right? He's like right? He's a walking he
popped,
cartoon.
He popped up on the screen. Mm. And I was like, ha! I was like, yes, they got someone that looks just like an asshole. Like, like that's who that character was until you know he does a turn.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I've evolved, but yeah.
Do they have that guy that had like the fruit stand or whatever it was? His cart gets demolished all the time?
Yeah, he's in
there.
Cabbages.
Oh, yes! Yeah. My cabbages! The cabbages. All right, cool.
They give you a bunch of like little moments where he teases that he's about to say it, but then he finally does.
I'm excited to watch. I'm going to be binging that soon.
Yeah, those little cartoon moments.
I do have a couple of quotes that I went and got specifically for Jermaine. Well, one. And maybe for Isaac, too, being as into stories as he is. Netflix's live-action Avatar The Last Airbender isn't the flop that many were expecting from a streamer with a string of failed animation adaptations, and it's certainly miles ahead of M. Night Shyamalan's version, but doesn't really stand out on its own merits. In the current era of TV, IP reigns supreme, making memorable storytelling more of a suggestion than a priority. And Avatar The Last Airbender joins the likes of Wednesday, The Rings of Power, and endless other series as serviceable, if not artistically significant, content.
Get emotional in the middle of that, right?
I have a little. I'm still fighting a little thing. That serviceable, but if not artistically significant. Fuck you. from my perspective.
I hate it.
Fuck you. Like...
Yeah, and they listed Wednesday in that list. Yeah. Like, I thought Wednesday was generally loved all around, right?
Apparently not.
Yeah, that was a pretty good series. Like,
I liked it a lot.
Really enjoyed that series.
Like, I just, I don't, like, the cartoon was, you know, was a phenomenon. It was great. It was still a cartoon, and it was still as adult as the themes were. It was still mostly aimed at a younger audience.
Nickelodeon was really good about doing that as far as this animated series.
Mm. And so... The commentary on live action adaptations that I don't understand is, so you have the source material and you want to be faithful to the source material, but there's these people that are like, well, that's not, it's not new, or it's not, you know,
it's unnecessary.
It's not pushing the envelope.
It's not groundbreaking.
I would say it's unnecessary. I personally, even if I had a cartoon that I absolutely loved, and they said, oh, we're going to make a live action. Like, I almost wouldn't want it to be just scene for scene, shot for shot, like recreation. Because it's like, I still have the animation to watch. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to rewatch something just because it's in a different art style, right? I mean, it'd be like, I don't know, like reading a comic book and then it's like, hey, we're re-releasing this, but so-and-so drew it this time. It's like, oh, okay.
Mm. Oh, interesting. So that's the really trick part about going from a 30-minute animated series to hour-long live-action episodes is some stuff doesn't translate if you were to just do it one-to-one. I mean, it's one thing if you're, I don't know, like, and it also has to be its own thing, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you wouldn't want it to be like, oh, it happened exactly that, but you don't want to change it so much where, you know, you're shitting on M. Night Shyamalan for, you know, 14 plus years.
I think my issue
we will never fucking forget M. Night Shyamalan Dick Dong.
Like, artistically significant, like how much improvement or how much license are you supposed to take with their original source to make it this grand epic thing that they want. Like, they want everything to be the next, what, Game of Thrones or whatever.
Yeah. I don't think you should do that either.
Like where is the line? Where does an adaptation... We don't need a live-action adaptation, but they're doing it anyway. Like, do you stay faithful while doing new stuff and trying to juice everything up, or it makes it look like you're trying too hard?
I don't think so. So, I mean, coming from... like my perspective of never watching the cartoon, mm-hmm. after watching this, now I am interested in going back and watching the cartoon.
So but I did that with One Piece.
I wouldn't want to go back and watch that cartoon and see something completely different or completely toned down, right? Like if they mm-hmm. had overdone this for the live action and really amped it up and juiced it up, and then I'd go back to the cartoon and it was like, oh, this toned down version of it, I wouldn't be happy with that. So I think like the answer is kind of what you're saying is, one, just from the aspect of making it, it's going to be different because you're no longer doing 30-minute or realistically like 22-minute, 25-minute
episodes. The story structure changes.
You know, to stretch that out. So I think, you know, I think it's just a matter of condensing is, I think, the right answer is condensing the story, getting it to what you want, which sucks is a lot of times when it comes to something that people are passionate about, a lot of the times it is those little moments that people – grow to love, especially with today's world of the internet, like, you know, or back in the day, Tumblr, people would make those like animated GIF sets or GIF sets of those small moments, right? Because that's what makes you feel like a super fan is when you can point out those small moments or the small details. And then that's the stuff that's going to get condensed or cut out as you condense a long format animated story into mm-hmm. a shorter thing. And then I think that's where people are going to get mad. But I don't know. I, to answer your question, I think there's always going to be that balance. And I think people that want the shot for shot are wrong. And I think the people that want, you know, let's turn this into some $300 million, you know, Hollywood blockbuster production.
Something that kind of loses the spirit of the original.
It's inspired by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now, if you want to do that kind of stuff, I guess maybe with like an offshoot or a spinoff, like Within the World or something, I don't know. Maybe there's room for something like that, but...
It's something where I think we'll have to, this season, we'll have to touch back on talking about reboots and sequels and shit, and adaptations and shit. I lost my train of thought. One per episode. Fuck.
Real quick, I had another one.
That was really bad.
.. The series executed in such a blandly earnest way as to be unlikely to win over many who aren't well-versed in the material and eager to take the plunge. Like, did you feel that not having seen the original source, that you're not interested in the story by itself in the live action?
No, but I mean, I am a nerd that mm-hmm. I like.
This is true.
I like that kind of fantastical element stuff. I like the world building. I mean, so this had the recipe for me to to enjoy it. this had the recipe for me to enjoy it. So yes, but I feel like, I mean, there's certainly people in my life that I could tell them like, hey, this is really good, but they're probably not going to watch it. And, and even if they did, they probably wouldn't enjoy it. But so that's nothing new.
Were there any moments in there where you felt left out as a non-animated series viewer where like, wait, they winked at the camera and that thing? Because I kind of haven't seen the whole show. But did you feel like any winks at camera?
No. I've seen enough like little clips here and there that I think I even caught on to some of that. And then I did spend some time like almost guessing at it. Like, oh, I bet him carrying a bunch of food and eating a lot was something that happened in the cartoon a lot. But at the same time, like that's still just character development for this character that I'm seeing for the first time. I knew there was probably those winks, but I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't feel like I was missing out on anything.
I guess I'll watch the rest of it. I'm convinced. Yeah.
The one thing, though, that I do like about the show, and even in the cartoon, so I don't know how much you guys know, like, about the bending styles and the martial arts and all that stuff. So the creators actually got martial artists to create the bending styles for each nation.
Oh, like the movements and stuff.
Yeah, so they got like the technique of like a rock benders. You know, it was it was more so like a heavy foot, you know, or, you know, just these movements that just look heavy.
Yeah.
Waterbending, of course, stuff. You know, is more fluid, and airbending, of course, is more light. But it's just one of those things, like, I like that they took the time and they decided to create, like, each nation
style,
give them their own style and things like that.
Yeah.
You can see it in the show and all that stuff, that it pays off.
Question to you guys, because I've seen it in comments and shit. Did it have a place for Toph?
What do you mean? Did it have a place for Toph?
So Toph is not in there.
Character. She doesn't pop up until season two anyway.
Okay. Is that? I was trying to remember the old the animated series. Okay. All right. Asked and answered.
So real quick, Doug, that he has to learn all of these different elements. So Katara is going to be his waterbending instructor. He's going to need an earthbending instructor, and also a firebending instructor. Mm-hmm. Toph is the earthbender one.
Oh, okay.
Lovable character.
Nice. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, speaking so far, of that, all the characters have been pretty. I like them all.
Speaking of that, how do you feel? Because Isaac didn't watch it, but how do you feel? And Doug doesn't really know, but
I don't know shit
about Aang. Aang, like, not even.
It's pronounced Aang.
Aang.
I want to move all the heavy learning, things away from you.
I'm gonna Aang your life.
Learning how to waterbend, like. Not even a smidgen of just bending before.
I fully expect season two to start with them, like, leaving the Northern Water Tribe, and they're like, oh, we spent, you know, weeks here practicing waterbending, and look what I can do now. I mean, they're going to have to do that, because as abbreviated as the season is, they're not going to be able to show him actively learning waterbending when he still has the other two. I think they kind of need to fast forward that and, like, bring him back as, cool, I'm, you know, I've mastered waterbending. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the next two.
And I would accept that, with, because he is going to have Katara, and they've already shown him, like, kind of there with her as she was learning. So I would accept a very truncated waterbending.
Yeah, I teared up a little bit when Oh Boy was like, Master Katara. I was like,
Oh yeah, that got me.
I was like, I can't. He's like, I can't.
He said this to you.
I was like,
yes, Master Katara. Like,
look away.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Oh man, there's a bunch of, especially the Iroh Zuko moments that just
stop. Pulls on them strings.
So the show has heart.
Yeah.
Nice.
It has a lot of heart.
Nice. I'm excited to watch it.
What else? Was there something else I wanted to talk about?
Well, the one thing I wanted to bring up again going into it, because everyone talks about this show forever, you guys always have, and, you know, I always kind of wanted to go check it out or whatever, but
oh, fuck us, right?
It was pretty, it was, I enjoyed, like, as the show progressed, like, getting those moments of, like, oh, okay, yeah, this is good, or, you know, I had no idea that there was going to be that time, I don't know if you want to call it a time jump, but I had no idea that he was, you know, frozen for 100 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, like, as soon as that popped up.
Yeah, I remember when you mentioned that to me before, I was like, oh, that's a cool, like, detail to, like, to learn, you know, as you jump into it.
Yeah, and that's the kind of stuff that just makes that character that much more interesting and makes the story more interesting. So it's, like, those kind of, like, decisions, I guess, in the storytelling that, like, as, like, within the first couple episodes, like, okay, I get it. I get why this...
Yeah.
This works so well because you do have these good characters. You have those decisions like that to have them kind of out of place. And it's even the world didn't change much in that 100 years, which I find hard to believe. But I mean, I guess it's 100 years of wartime. But...
When you watch Korra, it's there's a giant change.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of Korra.
it's not as good as the original. I still really like it, though.
I like it.
But
not a fan.
Now that you said that with, you know, like you said, you didn't expect him to be frozen, you know, 400 years and all that stuff. That triggered M. Night's thing. Do you remember them on their journey when they were kind of going on the journey? They just had, like, scenes of them just battling, and it was, like, changing, like, the scenery in the background, and the people were changing. They were just kind of showing, like, a fast forward of their quest.
Like an epic 80s montage.
Of their, hell yeah. Going, I want to watch it.
Going from the south to the north.
Yeah.
And, you know, those moments of, you know, helping people instead of, you know, fleshing it out. It was just, you know,
montage. Well, same thing. Yeah, you had to condense all of it into a two-hour-long movie or something. So montage is the way to do it.
Well, that's that thing of, like, the animated series was so huge and lived in and world built, it made sense to continue it to be a series, and it seemed like a hefty task to even try to make it a fucking movie. How dare he attempt to even make this shit into a movie?
Yeah, I don't think anyone should really even try that. I think if you want to do a movie from a series, it needs to be a standalone story. Like a continuation of the story, or like a side quest.
I think
shoehorn it in. Like, just be like, hey, you remember there was that gap in these two episodes? This is a movie that happened in there or something.
I just think that it takes like a master level writer, like a Scorsese or something like that, to be like, boom, here you go. Here's a 4-hour movie or whatever. But you know, it just not fucking M. Night, you know.
I just think there's some properties that are so rich with.
Oh, the lore, trees were the things killing people. The trees. Sorry, I had to get it off my chest. Sorry.
That you just can't shoehorn it into a single movie.
Yeah, well, especially once you start having a bunch of characters, because either you got to cut those characters out because you don't have the time to introduce them, or they're just going to feel like a random little insert.
So, one thing we haven't talked about yet is. Because Isaac hasn't seen it, of course. How do you guys feel about the spirit world and the owl and all that stuff? Like, how it, for you, kind of how it, they kind of put things in a different place, but also for you, how do you, knowing that there's another kind of element to the show now, besides what's going on in like the main story, how do you guys feel them having that in there?
I at first I was a little like, oh, okay, we're going into this, but then I was also happy about it, because I think at the end of the day, this, from what I've gathered, like, there's all sorts of stuff to this world, and you know what, just as long as they don't go into like crazy heady ridiculous explanations of it all, I'm happy with it.
Oh yeah, I did like how they had like the face stealer.
Oh yeah. Can we talk a little bit about how gross that shit is in live action? Like, the cartoon does not do justice to the live action version. That, like, the pupil closing just looks so wet and gross.
Yeah.
Like that was not there in the cartoon series, and I every time it did, I was like,
I do have to admit, I was playing a little bit of Balatro during that episode, because I can't stop playing that game. It's luckily it's a great game to play while you watch a show, because there's no like time limit. You just pick some cards and then do your thing. But so I did regret, because I'd look up and see that gross fucking thing. I'm like, what is that? I was like, oh, that's okay. I rewound it a little bit. It's like, oh Jesus, disgusting.
The Legend of Korra does delve more deeply into the spirit realm. I was a little off-put that it wasn't as mystical as they portrayed it in the show, like fucking spirits like floating around and like weird flora and fauna.
They showed like the weird like footprints coming out of nowhere.
They tried, and I don't think they did a bad job of it, but it wasn't like, I was like, oh, so this is the spirit world. Maybe this is just like the introduction to the spirit world, and it's gonna get more.
Yeah, it's just a portion
more
of
out
it.
There.
Yeah.
As they come back to it and probably, you know, like, spend more time with it.
Budget shit.
Yeah.
Fun amount of hybrid animals.
They mentioned a lot.
Yeah. They only got we actually saw the badger mole.
The
flying lemur.
Momo?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What else?
The hunter bounty chick. Hunter had the weird.
The sky bison. That, I don't even know
what they mentioned. Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Otter penguin. They mentioned an otter penguin in the beginning.
Yeah, they mentioned a few, like tiger or something. Tiger whales or something.
It was in the. What's so fun in the animated series is it's never really talked about. It's a thing. That's their world. They don't, you know, the way we talk about, like, that's a dog, whatever. And so they go, yeah, that's a badger lemur or whatever. And then there's this one point in the animated series, they go, that's a bear. And they go, what kind of bear? Is it a dog bear? No, is it a moose bear? Like, no, it's just a bear. Well, that's weird.
it was some king's exotic pet, and it was just a bear.
That's awesome.
And that was like the weirdest thing about it. It was just a bear. Like, oh shit, it's just
that's
a bear.
Right. That's so fun. Right. Was there like a DNA bender back in the day? 80% of them are just like globs of beast that aren't compatible with life, but the ones that stuck.
The creator in that, right. in that universe is right. it's a little like, yeah, scattershot. DNA for everyone.
Oh, well, I think that's like, my cue.
Like sneeze when he was making that roll. Okay.
That this is as good as place as any to end this episode because it's starting to go off the fucking handles, right. off the rails.
What have I done?
All right, let's close it out. So obviously we should see this fucking show.
Oh, I should do the best of this show. No,
sum it up.
We're not okay.
All right, my bad.
Sum it up.
No, not to sum it up, but I did have another... One, because we didn't bring up...
Tom, where you at, son?
Zuko in the mask.
Oh,
the blue spirit? Yeah, the blue spirit.
Blue spirit is badass in both versions.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they did that episode mm-hmm. justice.
Yeah.
That was exciting for me, because I didn't know who it was.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, ooh, who's in the mask? Yeah, you know, it's always fun getting those, like, who's in the mask moments.
Oh, yeah, we were trying to...
Who's in the mask?
Because at that point, they had already introduced so many other mm-hmm. characters that yeah. could have easily have come back, yeah. mm-hmm. you know, and done that.
I was waiting for that. I was like, man.
That whole episode, I'm like, wow, they're really shoehorning a lot into this episode. And then I'm like, oh, he's captured. Oh, so we're going to get the blue spirit. And
Oh, yeah. I was like, I was ready for that.
Good intro. Good. Mm-hmm. I love the way they tied it up at the end where his sister identifies the swords and explaining all that stuff.
See, that's the element that I like. Like they're using the characters, but now they're tying them in together to say that his sister Azula was assisting Zhao, you know, and then even Zhao, you know, telling Zuko all these things about his father, like your quest was pretty much nonsense. You were just thrown out here.
Yeah, on a snipe hunt.
Well,
you're not the main character.
Yeah, on a snipe hunt. Yeah. Because this was to push your sister.
Mm.
Like you're trash, bro. And just his emotion, just hearing all that stuff, just his little scream that he has in that moment, I was like, okay.
I mean, it's not like Iroh didn't fucking warn him in the first episode. Like, he let him know, like, mm-hmm. what if, you know, your father thought this was going to be an impossible task, so you going back would be mm-hmm. unexpected.
Yeah.
But it's just the fact that he, like, him having that hope that this is the quest that I'm going to be able to redeem myself
so and he
get
knew.
My father's love.
Yeah.
And just him just
he did the impossible.
Getting that heartfelt, oh, not heartfelt, but that heavy hit on the heart that he don't care about you, bro.
Mm.
Like, zero at all. And so that was a little moment.
They don't give him that gut check in the original series, right? Like,
not. I don't think it's right there at that moment, but. When he has that talk with his dad, like when he goes back and has that speech with his dad with that cold-blooded fire, I'm also waiting for that moment.
I'm going to have to brush up with the animated series, too.
Yeah.
Forgetting a lot of these
and
things.
Then,
it's time for a rewatch on that, I think.
And then also, the other character that we haven't mentioned, the Lost Boy, Jet, with his crew.
Oh, yeah.
I like their...
I was wondering how they were going to... kind of add that to, because it's like a whole episode by itself.
Yeah, yeah.
And they kind of like, you know, placed it together with them going into the into Omashu.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that was really well handled. And they, as for as much development as they gave him over his entire episode to have, you know, almost like a side quest for Katara and, you know, her, you know, B story or whatever, I think they did him justice as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I like that episode a lot because there was that kind of deception to the audience about like who, well, I guess deception towards the characters and us as far as like who was betraying who and who was the spy and this and that. I thought that was really well done. And again, kind of like what you were saying with like her little side quest, I think they did a pretty good job with like the characters, all like those three especially, like always all had kind of something to do like for the story. And I don't know, I think it's pretty good. Fuck the critics.
I do like I also do like the advancement of the Fire Nation. Like they're showing how they're getting stronger and stronger as the series goes on, you know, with like the blimps and things, you know, just like how they had in the cartoon. You know, you just see this particular nation just keep getting new toys to advance like their warfare. Yeah. And you just see it all happening in the background. And you're just like, man, these guys are going to be a thing to be reckoned with when that time comes.
Yeah. Well, I did think the Earth King was annoying. I kind of wanted Aang to just crush him.
Oh, Boomy.
Boomy.
his character is as kind of annoying in the original show.
Lettuce Lee?
Yeah, like all his puns and all that shit.
He
like,
even says that in the cartoon.
They literally lifted that up and just dropped it in there. And I'm like, maybe they could have evolved the character a little bit. I still enjoyed it, you know, just as the throwback. Oh, like, that is, you know, Boomy.
A lot of people felt like Boomy in the live action was more like anger towards Aang.
Definitely seemed like that.
Then in the cartoon, you know, he was like this kooky, kind of like a...
Yeah. He was more whimsical, I think.
Almost Yoda-esque. Like how he's like, you know, this master, but he's like this kooky type of, you know,
he was character. A child at heart.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things, you know, certain people didn't like this particular take, you know, on Boomy. Not saying that they hated the character, but it's just so much that he had, you know, so much
bitterness.
Bitterness, you know, towards Aang. Like they just felt that way about it. But
I did like that, you know, when shit got real at the end of his episode, that, you know, these are all like all the things that he was talking about, like all the tolls that had taken on him. Like that's like real shit. Mm-hmm. Like having to make those hard choices to decide who to save and, you know, who to let go, because you can't, you know, can't be everywhere at once. Or
I do like
limited
that
resources
that they're hitting Aang with the heavy questions, because he, you know, on his journey, yes, he's finding out who he is and what type of avatar he's going to be. You know, it's a thing that they showed in the cartoon, but I like that they're hitting him with these, you know, hard things, because it was the thing that he made that choice, you know, to run, you know, from it. So from that, now you have, this is the consequence that you have to deal with, and you have to find out, in a sense, how to be your own and figure your way on how you're going to handle these type of situations.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of cool.
It's very mutual. I think, you know, this world with 100 years of war and that situation, obviously a lot of, especially the older characters, have a lot to teach Aang, granted, because he's 12.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think him being 12 and coming from a world of innocence, in a way, a world of peace, I think he also is providing just as much teaching to everybody else, I think. And that kind of like, no, there's better ways to do it, or there's other options, or even kind of just the simple like, no, you can do it. You got this. Like I think it's just, you know, I imagine that world just got so beat down.
Yeah.
And to have him come back as not only literally like the avatar and symbol of hope as he is, but just being him.
Yeah.
With that innocence.
I'm ready for Team Avatar.
That also was like the place of the Avatar Nation, the Air Nation, is that they were like the lighthearted, like they were the monks, you know, like that was their role and everything. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Hell yeah, let's bend that button.
I'm afraid to fucking try to do it, because the whole 10 minute conversation is gonna go on. You do it.
So, in summation, what do we think of the series? out of 5 stars.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I loved it because I'm watching it again. I'll give it like a 4.5.
Minus points for no titties. God, everyone's going to think I'm a big old perv on this. Oh,
we forgot to mention
my role.
Brother, sister, bedding. No dragons.
Yeah, it's no Game of Thrones.
I really didn't want to say much because Isaac hasn't seen it, so I don't want to spoil the Momo moment.
Oh,
okay.
They eat him.
Isaac, for
from the one episode.
Seeing the first episode, are you interested in completing the series?
100%. Yeah. It was better than as far as the one episode is better than I expected it to be. I went in with all the hype, and I was so scared because of live actions kind of being more misses than hits. And from what I saw, I was like, all right, they did right by this. Mm-hmm. I can see why maybe it's not for, even if it's not for everyone, that everyone's not going to like it. I like that. I like when it has a world or a series, a movie has a particular following. It doesn't need to be for everyone. That means it's doing something right.
I mean, but that's everything. Like, some people love documentaries and don't like, you know, fantasy. I mean, there's niches for everything.
Yeah.
And I think for this particular niche, it does very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be watching it this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't go in there expecting it to be exactly like the cartoon, which
never do,
which is good.
You shouldn't want that, yeah, but you know, it does good for itself, and it's definitely worth a rewatch in my book. So,
and Doug, will you be watching the animated series?
Well, probably not. There's too much shit to watch. I mean, like, I
shame.
I appreciate the honest answer.
It's only also, three seasons.
You know, like, how much?
Three,
and like 20 episodes each.
Yeah.
All right, I might try to squeeze it in.
Me too.
There's so, like, I just started watching Resident Alien. I really want to get into the Expanse. Alan Tudyk. Yeah, I'm really liking it. I really like that. So I don't. I guess I'll squeeze it in.
Dude, me trying to squeeze. I was like,
touch grass again. just screen time.
I was trying to start the animated One Piece, and I was like, there's like 60 something episodes per season, and there's like 20 seasons. Like, nope. Yeah, I can't. I can't. This is doable.
Yeah, someone needs to start condensing these down into like a minute and a half TikTok videos or something for me.
I think one of you guys are telling me like, no, there's a list of like the One Piece episodes to watch where you can do without the other things.
Yeah, because anime is all about its filler. Like, if the story in the comic isn't up to where the anime is, like, they'll just fill it with, you know, random stories that they make up.
Got it. Okay.
Before they get back into the main storyline, those you can just pick up and.
Got it.
And you'll finish the episode and jump into the next episode. You're like, where are we right now? Are we somewhere else? Yeah. Are we not back? I'm like, oh my God. How long is this going to last?
Exactly. All right, let's put a button in this.
All right, well, check us out on IG and TikTok at The Hype Attack. And tell us what you thought about Avatar, The Last Airbender, whether it be the animated series or the live action, and please not about the M. Night Shyamalan one. We will unfriend you. We can't afford unfriending people. No. Whatever. Just don't mention it.
I'll go negative.
Can we go in the negatives? Yeah.
Anybody else? Less thoughts?
No.
Great.
Let us know who your favorite character is, what please nation do. You like, you know, all the good stuff.
Oh, there we go.
Let us know. Leave a comment.
Got him! Same hype time,
same hype channel.
Hype Attack.
One, two, three.